As we begin with this first Sunday of Lent, or this vigil of the Sunday of Lent, the proper Lenten season, for it is considered by the theologians and liturgists that the days that precede Lent were an addendum that was added later. And of course, in the Gregorian Rite, we also have 3 weeks that were added, particularly because of the continuous rivalry between the East and the West, between the Romans and the Greeks, who boasted that they fasted longer and that their Lent was better. So at least by the time of Pope St. Gregory the Great, who ruled from 590 to 604 AD, this Septuagesima season was added to the other days of Lent, the 40 days of Lent, which we have begun, particularly on Ash Wednesday, but the theologians say that it truly begins today or tomorrow. And as we begin also with the reading of the history of the world, of the history of the church, of the history of mankind, which, as we have seen and studied already in this last few weeks, begins with the book of Genesis. And of course, in modern days, with the influence of Protestantism and modernism and Masonry, it has been tried to be portrayed, including in the seminaries. I had many a fight in the seminary before I went to Rome, but now Rome has fallen too, that Genesis and Exodus and all those things were not real history. But the church has always taught, infallibly in fact, Pope Blessed Pius IX, Leo XIII, who were fighting the Masons who tried to destroy the church. And of course, most people don't realize that Charles Darwin, who tried to destroy the whole history of creation, was a Mason. He was also a very evil man, but pretended to be good, as most evil persons pretend. But all this, the church has said, is history. And as recently as Venerable Pius XII and St. Paul VI, they have taught that these books are true and real history of mankind. And so we begin in the Garden of Eden in Paradise with the temptation of the primordial enemy, Satan, who was once Lucifer but is no longer. And so he tempts the woman, Eve, the one that was created from the rib of Adam by God. And she falls, and he falls with her. And so they commit original sin. And as St. Paul says in the epistle today, through one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and with it, condemnation. What condemnation? To 20 years in prison? To life in prison? No. To eternal hell. And that is, of course, why the church teaches also infallibly that baptism is necessary for salvation, for entrance in this world into the mystical body of Christ, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and for entrance into heaven at the end of life if one has followed one's commitment to that baptism, which includes all the laws of God and of the Church. Fidelity and faithfulness to that which God has revealed. And this, of course, is part of what the Scriptures, our Lord, tells the devil at the temptation. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Every word. And of course, that is what it means to be Catholic. One believes all of that which has been revealed by God. One cannot be Catholic unless one believes all of it. And so the devil tries to tempt our Lord. Our Lord gives us example about how we are to live, about how we are to behave. And he goes into the desert to pray. And as God, of course, he doesn't need to pray. He is God. And he sees the Father and the Holy Spirit always. They are always together. That is the dogma of divine perichoresis. But as man, he also needs to give us the example. Not because he needs it, because his humanity is united with the divinity, inexorably in the hypostatic union. But he gives us the example. So he goes and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, his human body, which was capable of suffering, was hungry. And the devil takes advantage of this. He thinks, this is my chance. You are hungry. If you are really the Son of God, command that these stones become bread, loaves of bread. And you can have your fill. You can eat and eat and eat. And you will no longer be hungry if you are the Son of God. Of course, he's taunting him and tempting him as he taunts us as well. And we need to take the example of Christ about how we are to respond to the devil. And of course, he says, that is not the bread that is important. One does not live on that bread. We live on the bread that comes forth from the mouth of God. And of course, what is the word that comes from the mouth of God? It is Jesus Christ. It is the second person of the Trinity who has become man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. True God and true man. He is the Word of God. It is he who comes forth from the mouth of God, from the Trinity, all three being God, but only the second becoming man. And the devil is thwarted. On the one hand, he probably does not really understand it, because one has to have the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. And so no one who does not have the Spirit of God, no one who is in sin, and the devil is sin itself, can understand the Word of God. Then he thinks to himself, well, let's do something else and see if he falls this time. So he takes him to the highest point of Jerusalem, the parapet of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And then he quotes the scripture. No one knows the scripture better than the devil, not even all the popes combined. And of course, there are some that don't know any of it. And he quotes Psalm 90, which will be the tract for tomorrow's Mass in the Gregorian Rite. It's the longest tract of the whole year. It's the season of penance, so the cantors will have to suffer too. And we, hopefully, will not have to suffer bad singing. So, 90, read it for yourselves. We read it during Lent, and especially on Sundays. And our Lord says to him, what is this? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But the devil has quoted Psalm 90 that says, your angels will guide you. They will lift you up, lest you so much as even stumble upon a rock on the desert floor. Read it for yourselves. And our Lord rebukes him, chases him off, as he needs to be chased by you and me. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, in our case, we are not the Lord his God. And God is God of the devil too, which he will not accept, but he is. The devil fears and trepidation, even at the name of God and of Jesus and of Mary, for that matter. But she has crushed his head. But we can say to him, you shall not put the property of the Lord thy God to the test, because we are, by baptism and confirmation, and those of us who are ordained or consecrated, we are the property of God. You belong to God. You are not your own. You do not have full freedom to do as you will. You have full freedom to do God's will, and only God's will. And then the devil takes him up to a high mountain, who knows? Maybe Mount Everest, or maybe one of the mountains in Italy. And then he says, look around you, look at all the kingdoms. They belong to me. And you know, people who are into power, whether they be royalty or whether they be elected, which of course is just a temporary, very false power that doesn't belong to them anyway, are very much into this land, that land. Of course, always there is fighting about this, as there is now, and soon shall be even greater, a greater cataclysm from which we may not survive. And so he says to him, all these belong to me, they're mine. And indeed, God has allowed him to take possession of all these things for a time, until the end of time when Jesus returns in glory to crush him forever. And so, if you bow down before me, I will give all this to you. And you know, how many times do we not hear that in our own lives? If you bow down before me, and there are so many things that are the devil or represent the devil, and we bow down, and we lose eternal life, but we gain nothing. And if we gain it, we may gain it for 10 or 20, or as the scripture says, 70 or 80 years, and then we are dust. That is nothing. And all really belongs to God, as we belong to God. So our Lord says to him, all these things, huh? Get away, Satan. The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. And that is, in a sense, in a very short sense, for we could speak here till tomorrow morning without getting tired, because the Word of God is our livelihood, our word, our bread, our water. That is, in a sense, then, a very short summary of what Lent is all about. The Lord your God, and him alone shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. The question is, are you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.